everyone. My name is Andy, as you know, and this is the fifth in a series of conversations I'm doing as we're living in the quarantine age of COVID-19 called Quarantine Conversations in the Age of COVID-19. It's basically what I said twice. Today I'm speaking with two musicians who are also a couple, Lynn from Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and Bert from Up or Downer. They're both based in Los Angeles.
Hello, I'm Lynn. As Andy had said, I play in the band Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
My name is Bert. I play in the Los Angeles-based punk band Up or Downer, and I also am a small business owner in Los Angeles.
So tell me what you realized when you woke up, or when you went to sleep the night before. Everything probably was normal somewhat, and then when you woke up the next day and everything had changed, what did that, how did you process that sort of thinking at the time?
For me, it was, we were on tour in Europe when this was all happening. It was at the very beginning stages of the pandemic, I suppose, you know, because that was when the issues had started to rise in Italy, and they were shutting everything down there. But they weren't doing it everywhere else. So we were playing at venues that were small enough to not hold 500 plus people. So we were fortunate enough to be able to play shows that were in a smaller capacity to make sure that we were safe and obviously abiding by the rules. But then, you know, we eventually got word on the 13th of March that our tour had to be canceled. And that was the last day of that night we played in Paris. And so we're like, all right, well, this is going to be our last show, and we got to get our asses home. So to have to wake up every day with everything changing by the hourly, you know, it was pretty intense, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever actually forget this. It was a Friday night, and I'd been following the story, you know, fairly closely, as closely as I follow any other news. But it didn't seem like it seemed like a big deal, but it didn't hit close to home yet. And I'm sitting there making dinner, and I get a frantic text message and then phone call from the husband of one of Lynn's bandmates saying, Trump just closed down travel to and from Europe. And that at that exact moment, it was like, oh, okay, this is getting really real. I don't think I got more than 2 hours of sleep any given night that night. That Friday night, I stayed up until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. our time to make sure that I could talk to Lynn on the phone and kind of figure out what their plan was. And then, you know, it seemed like it was almost like a roller coaster, right? We had this really slow ramp up. And then over the course of that one weekend, it seemed like everything just went, you know, super fast downhill. My clients were starting to freak out and not know if they were going to be staying in business or what they were going to do. We were trying to get Lynn home from Europe. We didn't know, I mean, there was a certain point where we didn't even know if that was going to be possible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say it was that weekend of, the 13th March?
Yeah.
It was really where it kind of got real for us.
Yeah, because, things were starting, you know, as we were seeing from the news stories and stuff like that, you know, things were shutting down further, at a further capacity. Like, they were, you know, postponing or canceling major festivals and major events that were at least five. It started off at no more than 1,000 people, and then it went down to no more than 500 people. Then you're hearing no more than 400 people, and the number decreasing as they're going. And so we're trying to figure out the best way to go about this. And it wasn't like we could just pack up and go home right away, because we had all these other things, like our tour van and gear backline, you know, that we had rented is coming from the Czech Republic, and had to get that back to them before their borders were closing, and then ensuring after that that our driver and tour manager would get back to their cities safely, one of them being in Berlin and one of them being in Paris, you know. So it was I don't think the reality really set until it really had to be. And then it was a pretty intense, like, straight 48, probably 72 hours of craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine going through any of that. Here, it was pretty easy for me, I guess. I just have the dog and the cat and a roommate here at the house. But I know that some people, like yourselves, were in kind of a very unique situation where you've got, you're in Europe and then you're trying to get her back here and trying to figure out what's going on. I can't even imagine what that was like.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, the information was coming in, but it was so kind of scattered. I'm on Twitter and I'm trying to read what people are saying and people who are traveling. And, you know, I didn't know if Lynn was going to come back and then have to, because she was in Europe, not necessarily any of the high-risk countries at that point, but was she going to have to go stay somewhere else for 2 weeks? Or, you know, what was our living arrangement going to be like? I mean, we have a one-bedroom apartment, so they're kind of not really there's not really room for us to social distance from each other.
No.
At that point, I just had no clue. There was even, you know, I thought there was a good chance Lynn could be in Europe just for the next month. And I was going to have to figure out what to do here while she was there. And so, yeah, it was really, it was very uncertain.
Yeah. Times. Everything was so uncertain. Like, we just had no idea. All we could do was just go with it. As soon as we found out, like, our tour was canceled, we booked, you know, we ended up having to spend a significant amount of money to ensure that we got a direct flight from Paris to LA, you know, because our flights were originally we were supposed to go from Prague to the UK and then fly home from London to the US. And even then we were even unsure if we were even able to fly directly from Paris to the US, but thankfully we figured that out. And you know, we flew home directly and ended up in customs for like over 3 hours because we had to go through the CDC, checkpoint and whatnot too. And which, you know, despite all that craziness that we had to go through, that our tour manager and driver had to go through, everybody that had to go through that was, you know, involved in this in some way or another, I will take that over being stranded in Europe, you know, and not even being allowed to be home, you know.
Oh, sure. I could imagine being stranded, quote unquote, in Europe for, you know, a week or so would be fun. You know, you could go backpacking, do whatever. After maybe 5 weeks of being stuck in Europe, that no longer seems fun.
Yeah, well,
especially when they're closing everything down. So it's not even like you would just be stuck in a hotel room somewhere in Europe that you're paying for or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. And how has it affected your work here in LA? You're both still working, correct?
Yes. Bert runs his own marketing company. I work for a firm in Santa Ana, and I'm one of the lucky ones where they were able to send me a laptop to work from home. So that worked out nicely.
I mean, for me, I run a social media and online marketing company. Generally working with small to medium-sized local businesses. So at first, everything seemed like it might be okay. I have a couple of clients who are restaurants who've obviously had to drastically change the way they do business. Clients in the beauty industry who are just no longer working right now, which means I'm no longer working for them. Clients in the music industry who plans have drastically changed, so I'm working still, but my day-to-day work is a lot more modified. Obviously, I can't meet my clients in person. The first week or so, especially with the restaurants, trying to figure out how to deliver food, what was the proper way to word everything, and their proper response to COVID-19 without just making sure we were getting the right information out there. It's kind of I've been doing marketing and PR for about 10 years now. And it's just kind of one of those rare occurrences where you really want to be careful what you say and how you put it out there and what you're doing, because people are going to remember what you did during kind of a moment of crisis, right? So, yeah, for me, my workload has definitely changed, and money is not coming in. So that's definitely it's a scary time right now. You know, I'm hoping once that this kind of gets more under control, if that's even a thing, that things will go back to a little bit more normalcy for me. But, you know, I'm kind of just at the point where I got to wait it out and see.
I've noticed that when I have gone into restaurants, it's just the vibe is just people are somber. I don't know. Sad is really the word. I think somber. It's like a kind of functioning depression, I guess, where they're there because they're working, obviously, but it's so different. I just it's sad, I guess. I feel bad that everyone is kind of living this sort of isn't even a fun part of their life at this. Nothing about this is really fun, I don't think.
No. It's just,
no.
I mean, I think you're right. I can only speak for the restaurants that I work for, but we also are friends with a lot of people in the service industry locally in Long Beach, people who are working in the restaurant and bar industry. And, you know, all of these restaurants and bars, they have big staffs, and the staffs are kind of like family. You know, these people work really hard together, a lot of hours a week, but now they're down to maybe just two or three key staff members mm-hmm. working every week. So, you know, and there's a lot of uncertainty there. So these are people who are working without their friends.
Without even getting to see their friends come in to visit them. Like,
yeah. Or their regulars.
Yeah.
There's no probably tips or way down. If I had to guess.
I mean, we live like pretty much in the heart of Long Beach, like, and have been fortunate enough to be a part of the community around here, friends and, people that work for the small businesses in this area. So we certainly try to do our part to support their businesses, you know, ordering takeout or delivery. Cause you know, it goes from, the restaurant owners to people that work at the restaurants to even like the courier services too. It's hard to see that. It's hard to watch that, you know, cause you want to support them so badly. You want to see them. You want to see them just like say hi and give them a hug, and you can't even do that right now. Yeah, it is a very, very somber time, I think, for everybody that, especially that work in the service industry too, because they're so, you know, on top of their job, you know, part of the reason that they thrive is because of having a thriving social life, you know?
So, of course.
And take that away.
And you're both in bands, and your bands play regularly. So aside from rehearsal where you would see your bandmates, what do you miss most about playing live shows?
I mean, just playing them in general.
Yeah, I mean,
no matter how small or big, it's just doing that because, I mean, we have both our bands have a strong group of supportive people, friends that, you know, we all love to see and hang out with and stuff and make that show a fun show.
Yeah, I mean, the week before Lynn came back, I actually had a show. And I remember being worried about, well, I wonder if people are going to show up, because I know this is kind of starting to, the fear and the awareness of COVID is kind of ramping up in the U.S. So I'm wondering, I was curious how many people were actually going to be at that show. It turned out to be a really great show. A lot of people showed up. I had an absolute blast, and I got to meet so many new people who had never seen our band before. And so I just think nights like that, nights like where you would play a show, you'd meet a bunch of people that you have a lot of commonality with. You spend most of your time in the night talking to strangers, people that I probably would have just never met before. And now that's just kind of gone. And the scariest thing is I don't know when that's ever coming back, really. Like, even when they say it's okay to go to bars and shows, I still think people are going to be a little wary of doing so. And I can't blame them. I mean, if you look, I'm pretty sure nobody at our show that night had it because everyone was packed in so tight that there's no way a ton of people from that show wouldn't have gotten it that night. Maybe they did, but it's going to be kind of a that's one of the things that I think really just bums me out every day is something that I have to think about. That is winter, and not even just playing. I love going to shows for that reason too. When is that going to be a thing that we can do again? And not only do, but do without being scared.
Yeah. Cause there's always going to be that, like that thought, that worry looming over someone's head, your own head now, especially with this whole pandemic happening. Even when they say, you know, it's okay to go to shows, like, when is it going to be okay to, like, really enjoy it?
Yeah. When is that worry not going to be in the back of your mind? Like, is it going to be once they have a vaccine in 2021? It might be. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I kind of now miss sitting and waiting for the show that's running an hour and a half. Long, you know, running behind an hour and a half and waiting for the band I want to see to go on. I miss that.
Because I'm
home all the time.
Yeah.
My dog and cat, they love it. But, you know, no offense to them, but, you know, I really kind of need to be out. And that's the thing. Like, we all live in a major hub of music for a reason, because we like to enjoy that sort of atmosphere. And it's definitely something to where if you like to see bands, you're in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, no one wants to hear me talk. They want to hear what you have to say.
Well, another thing I think about too is, I mean, my band's a good deal smaller than Lynn's band's. So I worry about all these little venues that we played at, because I don't know how. I mean, unless they get their rent forgiven and don't have to pay rent for the next however many months, I don't know how many of them survive through this, you know? And that's the last thing we need in Orange County. I mean, Orange County, LA, we have plenty of kind of bigger venues, but the smaller, more intimate venues are, you know, they've definitely seen a bit of a decline over the past few years. And, you know, this could be a death knell for a lot of them, which would really, really suck, because that's kind of the lifeblood of the LA or Southern California music going experience, is these little shitty venues that you all cram in to watch small bands before they blow up and become your favorite big band, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. Are we going to have to see tape X marks on the floor where you can stand?
Yeah.
When you're in the pit, you have to stand. So you have to land on this X mark.
Choreographed pitting.
I was thinking about that today. You know, if you're going to stage dive, everyone in the front first 12 feet has to wear gloves. I don't know the whole thing.
What is going to happen with that? You know, I mean, and what if somebody, you know, what if you have one or two people that are like, I don't give a shit and do their own thing? Like, A, that's like a potential health risk. And B, you might have a really bad retaliation in which people get angry and start fighting them or some shit because they were just being irresponsible or something at the show, because it's too soon to get close to anybody, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I hope it's always going to be too soon for the shirtless, like, that guy shows, like, just beside you, just, it's too hot in here, and just whip it off. Just like, no, please stay over there. Stay in your own little space.
There, please. Yeah. Just go in your own circle. That'd be great. Somebody will develop one of those bubbles, one of those claw machine, like the toy claw machine things, but like have a bubble like wrapped around like somebody that starts to get rowdy, and then they have to stay in that bubble, the mosh pit or whatever, start at their own circle pit in a bubble.
What do you remember what the last show is that you played, or, and then as well, what was the last show that you went to?
The last show I went, oh my God, I don't remember the last show I went to that I didn't play. Not at the top of my head. Do you remember?
There was something at Alex's bar, but I can't remember.
It might have been something at Alex's.
Did we go watch Cam's band play at Alex's bar, or did I go do that one?
You did that while I was on tour. But that was probably the last band you saw to play, was the Overrides at Alex's bar. I don't remember the last show I went to be honest. but the last show I played was on the day that we found out our tour was canceled. And that was on March 13th at this venue called Jeebus in Paris, France, which a rad little underground venue. It was actually for an anti-fascist rally. Anti-fascism rally. So that was pretty cool. It was so crazy. Like we played at like, I think nine or 10 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock. I don't remember. But after our set, we got off and like loaded out like immediately because we had to get dropped off. Like our driver and tour manager had to drop us along with our support band. They're called Make War. Drop us off at a hotel by the airport so we can get on like the next flight we could from Paris. And they had to drive like, as you know, to Berlin to take the vans and stuff like that because the Czech border had closed by that time. And so it was crazy. So crazy.
Was the whole band staying up all night to try to make flight arrangements, or did you nominate one person?
I'm usually the person that handles that stuff. So, I mean, I had tried to be on the phone with our original airline provider, which was British Airways, but I couldn't get through. So I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm sorry. I'm okay to cuss, right?
I hope so. Cause yeah, I've been cussing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
who gives completely a fuck? Okay.
it should. Yeah, you know.
But I was able to book a flight for like 10 a.m. the next day from Paris to LAX. And mind you, like Air France needs to get their shit together. I mean, I'm not complaining. No, because
what are you doing? They're a sponsor of the show.
No, because like they were like, okay, normal carry-on, they were saying our carry-on luggage was too big, and it was like normal carry-on size, so we ended up having to go back around and rechecking bags, which almost cost us missing out our flights. Oh, that was such a nightmare. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, can we just need to get the fuck home. Not trying to go on vacation anywhere, we want to go home.
yeah, you're not on a leisure trip, you just want to get
home. Oh god, yeah. That was such a nightmare. But no, we made it home. I had some wine and champagne on the flight because I was like, fuck this, I'm passing out. So we made it home in time. And, you know, I'm very grateful that it, you know, it turned out the way it did coming home and stuff like that. Now I've been home with Bert. You know, we've been at the stay-at-home restrictions, quarantine restrictions over a month.
Yep.
Since the 14th of February of March.
Yep.
So we're going on like what is it?
It's gonna be 40 days. Pretty
40
soon.
Days almost. Ish. Yeah.
Time is meaningless nowadays.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't even know what day.
Oh,
it is.
Sure. I mean, you don't even know what day it is. I mean, it's a day. It's we know the time, but as far as the day you know goes in the week, I'm like, I don't even know. You know. What do you both miss most, aside from playing shows and music related, what do you miss most about life before the quarantine?
I mean, it's really obvious to say, but family and friends is obviously number one. But and also kind of going back to where you, you know, you were talking about the restaurant industry and like going into restaurants seems... The people there seem kind of sad. You know, one of the reasons we love Long Beach so much is it's this just this cool, active, vibrant city. And when we go to walk somewhere, to either walk our dog or to go, like, pick up takeout, and it feels like we're on the set of The Walking Dead or something, you know, the city doesn't feel alive like it normally does. And that's a really weird, eerie thing. So I think kind of outside of the obvious, like making money and my friends and my family, which I miss all of that stuff very dearly. I just kind of missed general happiness and things feeling alive. Things, yeah. It's such a weird thing to have it be springtime and, you know, all the air is clearer than it's ever been and all the flowers are blooming and everything, but nobody can go the fuck outside to enjoy any of it. We all have to watch Tiger King until our eyes bleed out of our head. So I think that's what I miss.
Yeah, I have to agree with that fully. Aside from the obvious of like missing, I mean, my family live far away to begin with. My mom lives in Reno, my sister's in the Bay Area, my other sister's in Seattle. But yeah, seeing family, seeing friends, having the option to just go out somewhere, you know, it is really eerie to see, you know, the city that is so like vibrant and active and fun and, you know, heavily involved with the community be so empty.
Yeah, I've noticed that it really does take you 20 minutes now to get anywhere, because that was the joke in Clueless that the father said everywhere in L.A. is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Now everywhere in L.A. is 20 minutes, maybe less. Yeah. There's no one on the freeway. It's kind of nice in a very apocalyptic sort of way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even just one of our go-to takeout restaurants here in Long Beach, Sideburns. It's from our apartment, you have to cross 4th Street, which if you go around dinner time, 4th Street is normally just a super busy street. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think I've had to wait at a signal there at all this past month.
Anytime we've gone to go get food there,
you just walk right across the street because there's barely any cars out.
Yeah, and that like cross street that he's referring to, you used to have accidents like all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, especially at night. Like, we've seen at least a couple Lyft or Uber drivers get into accidents there because, like, somebody's going through the red light.
For sure. Or we live close to a decent amount of bars. So I'll take our dog out on a kind of a later night walk at like 10 or 11 on a Saturday night. And I hear nothing. You know? There's no drunk partygoers, you know, out making noise. There's no line of Ubers zooming around the neighborhood like there normally is. It's just quiet. And maybe a lot of people like that. I don't know. I feel like I've done city living for such a long time that it creeps me the fuck out. Like, I want to hear it. That's my background noise. I need that stuff. Otherwise, I feel really out of place.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, I guess it's a good thing, like, knowing that our city is taking it as seriously as they should be. Yeah,
absolutely. No, that I'm glad to see that. I think, by and large, Long Beach is doing a really good job, it seems like, taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't go camping for that very reason. I used to have to go back to the East Coast to New England because that's where my family was at the time. Mm. I couldn't sleep there because it was freaky. It was so dark and quiet. And it was unnerving to me after living in L.A. and living in New York also for a long time. You know, it's very strange and I still can't get used to it. And it's like I'm very, people say they're bothered by Vegas because it's so bright all night long. And it doesn't bother me. The noise doesn't bother me.
Can you imagine like what Vegas is like right now?
It's got to be bizarre.
I would say it's probably very much like the beginning of 28 Days Later, maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he wakes up in the hospital and there's no one around.
Yeah. Like this is, I mean, thankfully it's not as bad as that. Like you're not.
There's no zombies.
You know. But I mean, it's still also like, I don't know, they, as much as it is sad and strange to like be, you know, put in this situation and uncomfortable it is and everything, I don't think it's time for us to do anything else yet. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of people out there that are like still getting together and stuff. And it's like, well, we're wearing masks and everything. It's like, that's great. Those precautionary measures are meant for you to take if you need to go out somewhere, you know?
Well, need being the operative word there, right?
Yeah, like, the need to go out somewhere, not because you want to, you know?
And, I want to go everywhere.
Like, we all want to go somewhere. We all want to do our own shit. We all want to go out and have a drink and meet up with friends somewhere. But, like, for the sake of everybody that's working this, you know, during this, people, especially the healthcare provider, I mean, I can't stress enough, like, how important it is for us to all do our due diligence, you know, and making sure that we literally do everything in our ability to ensure that we're helping them move towards the goal of controlling this.
Well, yeah, and I've been saying for the past week or so, just kind of my mental state on this is, I would rather do another 40 days of being locked in than be able to go out now and in another month have to cancel a bunch more shows and have to start this whole process all over again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already into it. I'm used to not wearing pants every day. It's cool. Like, let's just keep this going while, as long as we need to while we're in it. But I think it's way worse if we have to get a little taste of normalcy and then have to do this all over again. Like, yeah. I just don't want to do that.
You know, I just had to go to Rouse before we started, you know, maybe like an hour before we started. Mm-hmm. And I forget that, I mean, they're not making you line up outside anymore because that 5-minute trip will take you 3 hours at that point. But
right.
You go in there, and of the three things I needed, none of them were there. So I had to get other things. But it's just so weird. Like, I've never experienced that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy.
I mean, you brought up the zombie thing, and I'm such a big fan of zombie movies. So all this post-apocalyptic, like, the vibe of it just really resonates with me when I go out. It's just so weird. And this whole situation, I mean, there's probably a million adjectives you could use to describe it, but weird is definitely one of the top ones. It is just bizarre.
I mean, I also miss just the little things, you know, the shows for me, going to shows and that sort of thing is very obvious to anyone that knows me or that's kind of all I ever do. But I also like to do other things, you know, I may want to go to the museum or I may want to just go to a movie or anything and I can't do it. And so I have no interest in virtual tours of museums. It's not really the same thing.
No.
But what have you been doing to pass the time away during this time, aside from working?
Well, that's another thing I didn't even touch on. I miss going to the movie theater. I love, I'm a big movie guy, so I definitely miss going to the movie theater. And God, I hope that can come back sometime soon. Probably not for a while, though. Passing the time, we've been trying to be creative and play music. I play video games, so that helps. Reading. I've been showing Lynn a lot of movies she hasn't seen before.
I am the worst when it comes to movies. Like, if I like a movie, I will just watch that movie over and over again.
We have watched the Harry Potter saga like about 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Since quarantine started.
Yeah, you know.
No, what are some of the movies that he's shown you that you've never seen before?
I saw Aliens for the first time. Bert had definitely like ignited a new love discovery for me, and it's kung fu movies. Like, because, you know, growing up, I loved, you know, my dad used to always show us, like, Rumble from the Bronx or any Jackie Chan movie, you know. And then I remembered when Crouching Tiger came out, and I'm like, that was such a badass movie. But, you know, I never really sunk my teeth into it. But Bert showed me a Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
Donnie Ip Man.
We started on the Ip Man movies. So we'll make our way through those. They're all on Netflix.
And holy shit. Like, if I didn't play music, like, I think another calling would have been like trying to be like a kung fu stunt person. That shit is cool as fuck. Man.
I can see that.
Cool,
you were,
as fuck.
You were a gymnast. You could probably do it.
Yeah. Why? Well, and I did martial arts too. I was just like seeing that, like just watching it. I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And any excuse to do any sort of choreography. So.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we watched Netflix. Like we watched, we had to see what the Tiger King thing was all about.
Oh, yeah.
About.
Had to see it.
Yeah. A train wreck that you couldn't look away from, but
yeah,
I lasted two episodes and I had to turn it off. I'm all about a win for the animals, and I still don't know really who won in that show. To be honest,
nobody wins in that show at all.
Exactly.
Nobody wins. It's just like a car crash that everybody has to stop and see. You know,
The one thing that I think kept me watching it was outside of the main people who seemed. I mean, they're all got to be objectively terrible. I don't see how you could really root for any of those people. But their underlings and the people who kind of worked at all the parks seemed like they really cared about the animals and had relationships with them, which is maybe the only redeeming thing about that show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pure trash, but like time doesn't matter anymore. Things don't matter. So,
I mean, trash to the extent of, that I just remember out of the two episodes I saw that one girl loses her hand or her arm.
Yeah.
And then she's still in it. And and whatever drugs they're supplying or whatever liquor they're supplying or whatever it is must be magical, because I don't know if that were me, I would have been long gone.
Oh,
yeah.
I
know.
She went back like 3 days later and started something like that. Again. There's no way. I would never.
She's like, I just came back, you know.
It's like, we get it, you're hardcore, we get it, but really. Yeah.
Like, the story of losing your arm in itself is pretty hardcore. You don't really need to go into it anymore.
No, not at all, not at all. And how is your dog adjusting to you both being home all the time?
Oh, she loves it.
She loves it.
She loves it.
She has like major attachment issues. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, I don't have to go, well, Lynn doesn't have to go, isn't driving to the office at all anymore. And I don't have to go to my meetings, which are usually my meetings are in LA proper, not Long Beach. She loves it. We're here all day. She mm-hmm. can hang out. The cat looks at us like, what the hell are we still doing here? But the dog is loving it.
Yeah, she loves it very much. She's like, they're always home all day long.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's not a dream.
It's not a dream. It's not. It's real. It's really happening.
I can't imagine how upset she's going to be like the first night we can actually go to a show or a bar or something and we don't come back in the house after 5 minutes. And she goes, oh, shit, where did they go? What is happening?
Yeah, I'm wondering how it's going to go once we can actually go anywhere. It's either going to be like a slow burn, you know, it'll be, oh, there's people here. Now there's, after a few days, oh, there's more people out, there's more people out. And then eventually, hopefully, it'll get back to just the way it used to be, but just 1,000 times better, because I think people may not take for granted the fact that there are bands playing or there's events going on, and they'll do their due diligence to actually attend them when they feel safe to.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been at the shows where there's been like five people and there's been no pandemic, you know? Mm-hmm. So now I would hope that there would be a lot of people at a lot of shows and a lot of events just celebrating the fact that they can do it.
Yeah, I've actually gone back and forth. I go back and forth, on this a lot in my head, because it's either going to be like the party of the year when people can go
or
back
the
out.
Decade.
Yeah, it's going to be like New Year's all over again, right? Or people are going to be cautious about it still and not necessarily want to go out. I mean, I know for myself, just because, you know, Trump tells us it's okay. I'm not taking that as a green light. Like, I need to hear about 10 doctors say it. And, you know, I'm not just going based off of what that guy says. So I'm kind of in a wait and see approach, but I'm really anxious for small businesses to get back to making money again. And I hope that That's why I just hope we take our time so that these businesses don't have to go through the pain of shutting down again and telling workers to stay home again. That's too much.
Yeah.
So I hope it's a big party when it's all safe. That's what I hope for.
We're going to rage.
What were you planning on doing had this not happened? What were the immediate plans for when you got back from after your tour? What was the next step that you're not going to be able to do? And same with you, Bert.
We had two shows to do in Salt Lake City with MXPX in April that got postponed. We had to cancel the tour with Anti-Flag that's happening in May. They postponed it for another date, but because it is at the same time as when we're planning on doing another tour, then unfortunately we can't do it. So that's as of right now. We'll see if it actually happens. We have plans to tour later on this year for right now until we can't.
When you guys, have the record coming out.
Yeah, we have our record coming out.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
I forgot about that.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we have a new album coming out.
Good thing you brought me along.
I know, right? we have a new album coming out in June. We made the announcement for it on April 15th. Despite the pandemic, we're still going to drop it at the same, at the same time we were planning on doing. Because people, we could at least give them some new music. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
For Up or Downer, we're not really at the touring stage of the career yet. We're kind of more of a local LA band at this point, even though we're working towards that. And to those means, we were planning on recording our first full length over the summer or late spring, early summer. But that's kind of just on indefinite hiatus right now, because obviously we can't get together to work on the songs, nor can we get together with an engineer to
record them.
So, yeah, it's just kind of on the back burner until we can do that. We're trying to figure out creative ways we can do streams and stuff, like every band's trying to do right now. We're currently working on shooting a music video. We're just going to do DIY and see if I can figure out how to use video editing software. I think I have a pretty good grasp on it, but we'll see. So yeah, I mean, for us really, it was just kind of trying to keep our momentum going and recording the record this year that is all just kind of taking a back seat right now.
Coincidentally, I'm actually interviewing Squirt this week.
Oh, Squirt's so,
my... Yeah, so you guys just put out a release with him, correct?
Yeah, we did a split with his band Public Serpents, a little 4-song split, kind of a East Coast versus West Coast ska punk album that we were able to work on with him. It was really cool.
How did you meet him?
You know, my singer Chris is really really tries to reach out to a lot of people in our scene. Our scene is kind of definitely more of a little niche, kind of the ska crust anarcho punk thing. So Chris really tries to make connections in that scene. And, we talked to Squirt and we told him that we really enjoyed Public Serpents, and wanted to play with them whenever they were around here. And it just kind of went from there. They were talking about a project that Squirt was working on. And Chris was like, well, we have some songs that we're probably going to put on the full length, but we're ready to release them now if you want for the split. And they did their songs and we did ours, and then we sent it all to the same place to get the mastering done so it all sounded uniform, and then released it online. And I was really happy with the way it came out. I think all 4 songs, if you're only doing 4 songs, they better all be awesome. And I feel like they're all rippers. So I was stoked on it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. And I've heard it and I really like it. And also the first song that I heard off the new record for Bad Cop, Bad Cop was Simple Girl, and that's awesome too.
Thank you so much. We're very excited about it. It had been a long trek, but it took us over a year to write that album, but
I'm one of the lucky ones who's heard the full record, and you guys are, I think everyone's going to be really excited about it. It's really good.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
Well, it's one of the benefits from you know, living with someone in the band.
Exactly.
That's great. Have you made, Lynn, have you made the trek out to the Fat Mike estate out here in the valley?
Before the pandemic? Yes. Yeah. We actually, we had recorded out there at Motor Studios where they had moved, or I'm sorry, it's called something else now. But it's called, he calls his property Six Flogs, like Six Flags. It's pretty cool. I mean, they've got like a full on badminton court. They have a tennis court, pool. That's fun.
Yeah. I see his Instagram. He's always up to some kind of shenanigans over there.
Okay. Yep. Sounds about right.
What your hopes are for the rest of the year, just in general, not just for yourselves.
I think, I hope that people are conscientious about this, the seriousness of the situation, and ensuring that everybody does everything that they can do to make sure that we can get out of, or at least get this under control, because, you know, we can only emphasize how much it's like everybody's angsting to like go out and everything, but at the cost of potentially putting us through this again, just to take a little taste of freedom, so to speak, then I don't know, just.
I think.
I lost my train of thought.
I think there's two things that I think about when it comes to this. One is very near and dear to me, mental health. During this, it's something I struggle with. I struggle with anxiety and depression. And obviously, being confined to a small space with a lot of my outlets being taken away from me hasn't been helpful for that. So I think people need to be conscientious of other people's mental health during this. Don't be afraid to reach out if you need help or you need someone mm-hmm. to talk to, because you know, I'm really lucky that I have Lynn, that I'm locked up with my best friend. Like, couldn't be in a better situation, because I know if I was doing this by myself, I'd be going insane. So
it's one thing that help us get us through this is that, like, we could have been that in that position.
Yeah, we could have been.
So, you know what I mean?
We're extremely lucky, and I think people need to be conscientious about that. And then one more thing, I think, It's such a crazy year. We have quite possibly the biggest election of our lives coming up. Mm. And obviously the news is 24-hour pandemic, as it should be. That's what's going on. But I think we all need to be keep our heads in the fight and really think about what we need to do and how we can help. Because I'm pretty confident that the right is going to use this as a way to, if they can weaponize this to try and make it so they can win the election, they will. Yeah. We already saw what they did in Wisconsin, and they put a lot of people in danger. I was just reading today that they've traced at least 17 coronavirus cases in Wisconsin to people who went out and voted. That's scary. And yeah.
They need to make the mail-in ballot happen. Yes. For everybody. That needs to happen.
Because we're already seeing that the coronavirus is disproportionately affecting lower income people, people mm-hmm. of, African-American people, Hispanic people. If those people are afraid to go out and vote, then we're going to have a tough time getting Trump out of office. So we need to make it so that they can vote by mail. We need to do whatever we can to make sure that people's voices can be heard, because I don't trust this government as far as I could throw them. And I know that they will do whatever they can. And if that means using this, they're going to use it. So yeah. we do have to stay focused on that. Obviously, stay healthy and everything. But all you got to do is look at those people out there doing these protests to see what we're up against in November. And those people aren't afraid. Those people will go. They'll go vote because they're dumb. Sorry to say that.
People like that are taking their desires. Oh, and picking that over the big picture. They're picking that over everybody else. It is a one man for himself mentality. And I think with this pandemic happening is a big test to see who's really actually out there to be there for everybody, as opposed to just what's best for them. You know, It'll be a real test to see who has a real level of compassion. And that includes what you decide to vote on in November. It includes being able to give, you know, people that are in less fortunate circumstances the option, the ability to vote by mail, to give them as much of a voice as anybody else. And for those that are deciding to wanting to protest because they can't get their hair done, I hope that you don't catch the virus. I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. But if you do, that you'll learn from that.
This country has had a number of tests, a number of moments over the past 4 years where we've really had the chance to look in the mirror and say, what are we made out of? And so far, we've failed each one of those pretty spectacularly. I try to be an optimist, and I do really hope that this will be a moment where we can right the ship and figure things out. But we're only going to do that if people can stay in the fight and really keep their heads focused on that. And that's really hard to do when you don't know if you're going to be able to pay rent or pay your electricity bill
or even go outside
and see your family members. That's really hard to do, but we got to find a way to do it. And this is a huge test for us. And I'm hopeful that we can pass it, but whatever I can do to help.
But the people out there protesting aren't exactly helping with our grade here. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, it wasn't bad enough. We were getting beaten over the head with the virus, right? But what was even worse, at least for people in the Los Angeles area, was that it was cold and raining for what seemed like 40 days, right?
Yeah.
I get bad seasonal depression. Like, I could never live in Seattle because it would just bum me out too much. So having to go through all that with it just being gloomy and rainy every single day, it was really rough going for a bit there.
Yeah, there's only so much Joy Division you can listen to.
They
run out of material. They only have a few songs, you know?
Yeah. Quarantine! Quarantine!